As we are continuing to work our way through the book of Ephesians, we find ourselves in a section of the book where we are focusing on relationships between a husband and wife, relationships between a parent and a child, a relationship between a slave and master. In our context, that more likely would be employer-employee. For this Sunday and next Sunday, our focus will be on the marriage relationship, as I've already mentioned. The relationship of marriage and relationship of between a husband and a wife has been the subject of many quotes and many comments and many jokes. And so just to loosen y'all up a little bit, I thought I'd share a couple with you. One writer said that all forms of gambling are frowned upon by preachers, except marriage. And another person said there would be a lot more happy marriages if husbands tried to understand their wives and their wives tried to understand football. When a man and a woman marry, they become one, and they spend the rest of their lives trying to find out which one. Another writer said the argument you just won with your wife isn't over yet. Marriages are made in heaven but are lived out here on earth. Marriages are made in heaven, but so is thunder and lightning. Marriage is seldom successful unless both parties get better mates than they deserve. Clyde Naramore, who's apparently a Christian counselor, said, marriage is not so much marrying one who makes you happy as escaping the many who could make you miserable. And finally, one writer said, the man may be the head, but the woman is the neck that turns the head. So I'll give you a few statements there just to think about. All kidding aside, we recognize that God did establish three institutions. One is the church, one is government, and the other is the family. And here we're talking about heterosexual marriage. No other marriage is actually a marriage. We certainly don't see gay marriage as a legitimate marriage. We're talking about heterosexual, and in our context, Christian marriages. The heterosexual relationship, the heterosexual marriage, is the foundation of the Christian home. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, God created man in his own image, male and female, he created them. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 24, I'll just summarize. It says, it is not good for the man to be alone. A woman is created out of Adam, and the man shall leave his parents and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The Bible tells us that Christians are not to marry non-Christians. We're not to marry outside of the faith. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, to be not equally yoked with unbelievers. That could certainly mean a lot of things, but it certainly also refers to marriage. We are aware of situations, I'm sure you have knowledge of this as well, where there's been much pain and many difficulties as a result of an unequally yoked marriage. James Dobson, a Christian commentator, said that divorce ranks about 50% of all marriages. About 50% of the people that get married get divorced. And the 50% that are still married, 30 to 40% stay together because of kids or because of apathy. And only 10 to 20% really do well and achieve the kind of closeness and intimacy and joy that they had hoped for when they tied the knot. As you know, men and women are different from one another. I don't think we have to say a lot about that. I suspect that we know that. There's obviously physical differences. There are emotional differences. There are sexual differences. And men and women tend to be wired differently. In fact, they think differently. And sometimes we look at our wives and they perhaps look at us and wonder why they do what they do and why they think the way they think and why they say the things that they do. But it's because they're different. And part of being married is accepting the fact that your spouse is a different person than you are. It's interesting, there's been a study done by a guy that was a Christian psychologist. And he talked about men and their priorities and what they would define as their greatest needs were. And this shouldn't surprise anybody. Sexual fulfillment comes in number one. recreational companionship, you know, comes in number two. You got to have somebody to go dirt biking with, right, or fishing or something like that. Number three is having an attractive spouse. Number four is domestic support. And number five is admiration. We all want to be admired, right? And so those are the priorities of men. Women have different priorities. I think sex ranks number seven on their list. But the first one is affection. And second is conversation. Honesty and openness is number three. Financial stability is number four. And family commitment is number five. So there is a difference in priorities that men have as opposed to women. They just are different. And there's two major points of emphasis exist in the Bible related to the relationship between Christian husbands and Christian wives. For women, it is to be that women are to be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. That talks about submission. And husbands, it says, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And certainly, as you look at the Ephesian passage, there are more verses devoted to the second one than there is to the first. This morning, we're going to focus on wives. Sorry, ladies. We're going to let women go first, right? Well, that's kind of where we are in the Bible, so we'll do it that way. We will focus on the women being, or the wives being subject to their own husbands. Next week, we will focus on men needing to love their wives like Jesus Christ loved the church. So today, this morning, we're going to look at four principles that will hopefully help us understand the whole issue of wives submitting to their husbands and hopefully understand that issue a little bit better. And I've got some points here. They're not necessarily in the text, but, you know, they're kind of derived from the whole subject and derived as you think about the text and you think about the Bible as a whole. First point I want to make is the point that submission is not a blank check. Submission is not a blank check. I know it doesn't say that in verses 22 to 24, but let me just read that to you. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Now, as you go on down, you read more about how husbands are supposed to love their wives like Christ loved the church. And plus the fact, you know that I'm bivocational, right? And I work in a secular counseling organization as well as pastor here. And I've seen a lot of times when men need to be reminded that the idea that they are in charge of the home doesn't give them the right to do anything they want. There are limits. And so we're going to talk about that. As you know, submission is a major theme in the Bible. Wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. The church is supposed to submit to Christ. Believers are supposed to submit to the governing authorities. Slaves or employees are supposed to submit to their master or employers. And finally, believers are supposed to submit to their spiritual leaders. Submission is not a real popular subject in today's culture. Anybody heard about that? The whole concept of being subject to arranging oneself under someone else's authority or relinquishing our own rights to another is not popular in our society. People don't like it. People don't like being told what to do. That's why when a person goes into the military, boot camp is such an incredible awakening for them. They find out that they are being told what to do, and that's just kind of the way it is. And we look at that, we say, well, why was submission such a hard thing for people? Well, first of all, we've got that natural rebellion that we all have. We're all rebels at heart. I mean, some people manifest that rebellion in quite a bit more dramatic ways than others. Others are more quiet rebels. Then there's also the me-first culture. We got the me-first culture. You can have it your way. You can do what you want. This is found also in the church, and it's found also its way into marriage. You know, we've taken something from the culture, and we've kind of put it into the church, and we've not counteracted that concept, that idea, by looking at the Word of God. You know, as I said, there is rebellion, and rebellion rises up in many cases against all legitimate authority. And so as we have moved away from a Judeo-Christian heritage, we find ourselves in a society that is more and more rebellious and more angry, and people are more and more demanding their own way. Authority gets challenged, in many cases, questioned, even by so-called believers. And forgotten by many is the verse that we find in 1 Samuel chapter 15. It says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's so bad in God's eyes, it's like worshiping the occult. A rebellious culture that is filled with wicked, selfish people is one reason, certainly, why submission is not popular. Another reason certainly has to do with the fact that many women in our society have been abused. You know, when I first got into counseling, I was told that 1 out of 3 American women have been sexually abused or raped or molested by somebody. I have come to the conclusion that that's probably an accurate number. You know, certainly as I look at my clients, you know, female clients, I would say a high percentage of them have been molested or mistreated in different ways. And as I looked at inpatient, when I worked in the hospital, just about everybody had been molested. Now it's getting higher for boys, who, and men. 1 out of 7, it may be 1 out of 5 now for men. So this is the kind of culture that we lived in. Sometimes women are abused by men. They're abused physically, they're abused sexually, they're abused verbally. And sometimes this happens even in Christian circles, unfortunately. And there are Christian women who are battered, they're abused, or if not that, they are very rigidly controlled. I mean, they can't go anywhere or do anything without the man being right on top of it. They have trouble liking men or trusting men or achieving closeness with a man, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And they have been hurt by men. Perhaps they grew up in a home where they witnessed their mothers being mistreated. And now they have the trouble trusting men, lowering the shields. And they would come into a marriage already being predisposed to rebellion and struggling to place herself under her husband's authority. And plus the fact, and we'll get to this in a little bit, you've got the whole Genesis chapter 3 situation where it talks about, as a result of sin, men will try to lord it over women, and women will try to resist the authority of men. So there's certainly that angle of it as well. Men must always remember they do not have a blank check in terms of what he can expect from his wife. We certainly would hope that our wives would voluntarily choose to submit themselves to our authority. But that doesn't mean they're going to do, you know, that we have the right to make outrageous demands of them. There is the Ephesians 5:21 passage that says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, and a loving husband may choose, and probably should choose at times, not to place certain expectations on the wife if those expectations are unreasonable or difficult. This verse would tell us that there is a sense in which all believers are to be humbled. All believers are to be filled with reverence for God and his will. And remember, there is no one who is superior spiritually or in any other way to anyone else. Nobody's better than anybody else in the eyes of God. We just all have different roles. We all have an equality of effort, an equality of essence, even though there may be different roles that we all play, whether they be at home, in the church, or perhaps in other situations. We men, and because I'm focusing on men, and because I am one, are to be humble, spirit-filled leaders who love our wives like Christ loves the church. We may be the head, but that doesn't mean that we can do anything we want. So we just have to be aware of that. There are limits. We can't control every aspect of our wives' life. We cannot abuse them. They are not a punching bag. They are not to be a target of verbal abuse. They are not to be sex objects. They're not second-class citizens. And we are to love our wives like Christ loved the church. And remember that submission is not a blank check. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Verses 26 to 29. says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Chapter 3, verses 26. "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise." Basically, a verse or a passage that underscores our equality in Christ in terms of our inherent value. Yes, there are different roles. Yes, there are different responsibilities within the marriage situation, but that does not negate the fact that each one of us are spiritually equal in the eyes of God. Nobody is better than anyone else. John MacArthur, in talking about this, makes this comment. He says, "In New Testament times, women were considered to be little more than servants. Many Jewish men prayed each morning, 'God, I thank you that I am not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman.' The provision related to divorce and remarriage in Deuteronomy 24 has been distorted to include virtually any offense or disfavor in the eyes of the husband. In Greek society, the women's situation was even worse. Because concubines were common and the wife's role was simply to bear legitimate children and to keep house, Greek men had little reason to divorce their wives, and their wives had no recourse against them. Because divorce was so rare, there was not even a legal procedure for it. Demosthenes wrote, 'We have courtesans for the sake of pleasure, we have concubines for the sake of daily cohabitation, and we have wives for the purpose of having children legitimately and being faithful guardians for our household affairs. Both male and female prostitution were indescribably rampant, and it is from the Greek word for prostitution and general unchastity, porneia, that we get our word pornography. Husbands typically found their sexual gratification with concubines and prostitutes, whereas wives, often with the encouragement of their husbands, found sexual gratification with their slaves, both male and female. Prostitution, homosexuality, and the many other forms of sexual promiscuity and perversion inevitably resulted in widespread sexual abuse of children, just as we see in our own day." We could almost be talking about our own country. "In Roman society, things were worse still. Marriage was little more than legalized prostitution, with divorce being an easy legal formality that could be taken advantage of as often as desired. Many women did not want to have children because it ruined the looks of their bodies, and feminism became common. Desiring to do everything men did, some women went into wrestling, sword fighting, and various other pursuits traditionally considered to be uniquely masculine. Some liked to run bare-breasted while hunting wild pigs. Women began to lord it over men and increasingly took the initiative in getting a divorce." When these God-ordained roles in marriage are ignored or are disrespected or abused, there are consequences. We see them in these other societies that we have mentioned. Certainly we see these in our own society. We have rebellion. We have role reversal. We have sexual sin, we have abuse, we have divorce, we have neglect of children. Let me tell you, the divorce rate is incredible. In fact, what's even more incredible is so many people are not even getting married. It's like there is no divorce. I mean, they have a relationship, maybe have a couple kids. That doesn't work out. They both move on to other partners. They have more kids. That doesn't work out. This happens frequently, let me tell you. The woman is supposed to submit, be subject to their husbands. That is a biblical command. We're not trying to undermine that, but let me say that men are not to use such a commandment as a blank check. So that's the first principle relating to, that I'm going to share with you this morning, relating to the issue of submission. Submission is not a blank check. Yes, it is a command. Yes, it is something that women are supposed to do. But we men constantly have to remember that doesn't give us unlimited power. Second principle, submission is voluntary. Submission is voluntary. When the wife chooses to submit to the husband, she is choosing to obey the word of God. She is voluntarily saying, "I will place myself under this man's authority. I will let him be the God-ordained leader of the home. I will work with him. I will help him. And I'm doing this not only because I love him, but also because the Bible tells me that that's what I am to do. Notice that she is not required to submit to other women's husbands. It's only to her own husband. She's not to submit to other men in general. She's not necessarily meant, does not have to necessarily submit to a fiancé or to someone she's dating, but only to her own husband. When they're married, that's when it comes into play. Submission is a choice. She is not a dog. She is not his footstool. She is not his to command, but she is commanded to voluntarily place herself under her husband's authority, just like she would choose to voluntarily place herself under God's authority. The wife chooses to give herself to her husband. She belongs to her husband, and he belongs to her. You see the Song of Solomon, if you've ever read it. There's someone in chapter 6, verse 3, called the Shulamite woman, and she says, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. That's the way marriage should be. We should be there for each other. She is yours, and you are hers. Marriage is a mutually, exclusively committed relationship. Within the context of a marital relationship, a woman chooses to rank herself under a man and give herself to his care and leadership. This cannot be forced. You can't force a woman to obey. I mean, I guess you could up to a point, but that usually doesn't work very well. This cannot be forced, coerced, manipulated, or threatened. It is a choice a woman freely makes when she marries a man. Sometimes a woman will show signs of outward compliance, but inwardly she is rebellious. You all heard the story about the little boy whose dad told him to sit down, and the little boy doesn't want to sit down, and finally the father grabs him and makes him sit down, and the little boy looks up at his dad and says, you know, on the outside I'm sitting down, but on the inside I'm standing up. And you know, maybe you have that same kind of situation sometimes that happens in a marriage situation. The husband is overbearing, he's abusive, he's controlling, and the wife goes along with it because she kind of feels like she has to, but on the inside, she's standing up. This is not what the Lord had in mind. He wants Christian men to voluntarily, in their hearts and in their behaviors, place themselves under the authority of their husbands, just like they are supposed to be doing to the Lord. Now you realize there's another side to that. The men need to love their wives like Christ loved the church. And if women will voluntarily submit to the man's leadership and the men would voluntarily love their wives like Christ loved the church, I don't think you'd have too many marriage problems. You know, the problems come when people don't do what it is they're supposed to do. And that's why you have situations where there are women who are very controlling, very dominant, and they're basically calling the shots and running the ship. Or you have men who are not really loving their wives and they're not treating their wives correctly, and you find women starting to rebel against that. One of the reasons I think in our society we have so many unhappy women, and maybe why we have the rise of feminism like we have, is frankly us men could be doing a better job loving our wives like Christ loved the church. I think that's certainly true. The Lord wants Christian women to, in their hearts and in their behavior, voluntarily place themselves under the authority of their husbands. And when they do this, they're placing themselves under the authority of God. We can't make a woman submit. Not really. We can only love her and treat her in a way that would make her want to submit. So what do we have to do, guys? We have to be easy to submit to. We have to be such loving leaders and such decent guys that when we ask our wives to cooperate with something, they don't have a problem with it. It's when we're harsh with them or unreasonable with them, or maybe we're even abusive with them, that they don't want to do that. And so you got to understand what's going on in the relationship. We are to treat her with respect and kindness. And with women, it is important to remember that men are not perfect. Did you know that? Men are not perfect? Oh yeah, we knew that. You will never have a perfect husband like the one I'm about to describe to you. Let me read something one writer wrote. He's talking here about the perfect man. And you can tell me later if your husband actually does this. What are you laughing at? He rises early, reads the Bible, and prays, then jogs several miles. After breakfast, he presents a flawless 15-minute devotional to his attentive, adoring wife and children. Never forgetting to hug and kiss his wife goodbye, he arrives at work 10 minutes early. He is consistently patient with his coworkers, always content with his job, and devises creative solutions to problems. He works hard and never wastes time. His desk is never cluttered, and he is confidently in control at all times. He is well-read in world events, politics, and important social issues. He is a handyman around the house and loves to build things for his family. He arrives home from work on time every day and never turns down a request to play catch with the boys. He obeys all traffic laws and never speeds, even if he's late for a meeting. He is popular with everyone he meets and never tires of people nor of helping them in time of need. He can quote large sections of scripture in a single bound, has faith more powerful than a locomotive, and is faster than a speeding bullet when solving family conflicts. Never gets discouraged, never wants to quit, and always has the right words for any circumstances. His closets are never cluttered. He always keeps his garage neat. He never loses things, always flosses his teeth, and has no trouble with his weight. And he has time to fish. So that's the perfect man. I don't know how many men meet that. Probably none of us actually meet that. But it's not easy to be a married woman and have to submit to a man. I'm not a woman, so I've now already been told that I don't understand women. I don't understand how they think. You know, I've been married 40 years, and I accept that. I mean, there's some things I've kind of figured out. But, you know, I would imagine that, you know, if you're a woman, some of you are, it would be difficult to be in a situation where you're expected to submit to somebody, especially when you don't know what's going to happen. Submission is a command, however. It is something that the women are supposed to do. That does not mean that a woman is to subject herself to abuse or to be forced to do things that violate scripture or are physically painful or humiliating, and certainly she does not have to tolerate cheating. Women are expected to submit to a husband's authority. Husbands must remember that such does not give him a blank check, and that submission is voluntary. It's not a blank check, it's voluntary. Number three, submission is as unto the Lord. Submission is as unto the Lord. Not only is a Christian wife expected to voluntarily submit to her husband, she must remember that in doing so, she is choosing to submit to the Lord. Marriage was God's idea. God was the one that created marriage. He created them males and he created them females. He did not make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. He did not make people and then say, if you want to change your sex sometime in your life because you're not happy the way you are, go ahead and do it. Those are not options, at least from a Christian or biblical perspective. He created men, he created women. He created husbands, he created wives. Men and women were to form permanent, committed relationships in which children were to be created, families were to be made, and people's needs were to be met. Procreation was to occur whenever possible. It was a perfect setup which would have worked perfectly except for one little three-letter word. And we all know what that is. It starts with a S and ends with an N. That three-letter word is sin. Sin entered the picture. Eve was tempted. You all know about the Genesis story. She ate of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, being tempted by the serpent. Adam went and did likewise after she went and offered him that particular fruit. Sin entered the world, and as you know, everything fell apart. That's why we have all these problems in the world. That's why we have counseling centers. It's because of sin. You got to deal with the sin. And a lot of people aren't willing to deal with the sin. They'd rather blame it on the other person and try to justify themselves. I'd like you to turn with me. I mentioned this verse already, but this is Genesis chapter 3. Starting in verse 16. to the woman, he said, I will multiply greatly your pain in childbirth and pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Let me stop there. The woman, as a result of sin, would have the desire to overthrow the rule of men and overthrow the concept of male leadership. Men would have a tendency to lord it over women and to rule over them in a way that is harsh and not necessarily in their best interests. And as you know, women's lib, you ever heard of women's lib and heard of feminism? All that, I think, is a result of the fact that sin has entered the husband-wife relationship. And let's face it, sometimes the women are not treated well. Male chauvinism was certainly a result of that. Abuse, rebellion, divorce, battle of the sexes. People joke about the battle of the sexes, but sometimes that battle is very real. All of this is a result of the fall in the garden, where sin entered the world, into every human relationship, and that includes marriages. Men lorded it over women and didn't show their wives the love that they craved and they deserved and that God has mandated that they should have. Women rebelled against the leadership of their husbands, even the good ones, and ended up rebelling against the Lord himself as they did so. Some women come into marriages and basically no man is going to tell them what to do. And so when a man tries to lead in that situation, there's all kinds of problems that result. A woman by the name of Susan Foh, F-O-H, she wrote something in the Westminster Theological Journal. She said, as a result of the fall, man no longer rules easily. He must fight for his headship. Sin has corrupted both the willing submission of the wife and the loving headship of the husband. The woman's desire is to control her husband and to usurp his divinely appointed headship, and he must master her if he can. So the rule of love founded in paradise is replaced by a struggle, tyranny, and domination. And that's the reason we have problems in marriages. It's because sin has entered the world, and the women are trying to not be told what to do, and they're resisting male authority, and men are not loving their wives the way they should and are ruling over them sometimes with a harsh hand. Turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 3. And again, this is just another section of Scripture basically saying the same thing, but this is by Peter instead of Paul. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry, or putting on of dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with all the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. Susan Hunt wrote something called The True Woman. She says, I cannot give logical arguments for submission. It defies logic that Jesus would release the glories of heaven so he could give us the glory of heaven. Submission is not about logic, it is about love. Jesus loved us so much that he voluntarily submitted to death on the cross. His command is that wives are to submit to their husbands. It is a gift that we voluntarily give to the man we have vowed to love in obedience to the Savior we love. God says that man needs a helper. The true woman celebrates this calling and becomes affirming rather than adversarial, compassionate rather than controlling, a partner rather than a protagonist. She becomes substantially rather than superficially submissive. The true woman is not afraid to place herself in a position of submission. She does not have to grasp. She does not have to control. Her fear dissolves in the light of God's covenant promise to be her God and to live within her. Submission is simply a demonstration of her confidence in the sovereign power of the Lord God. Submission is a reflection of her redemption. Even if the husband is not perfect, I doubt very much if any of the men here match up to those qualifications that I read to you just a few minutes ago. So even if the man is not perfect, ladies, even if he's not everything he should be, and that's probably true of all of us, a Christian woman should choose to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. So what are we saying about submission this morning? Submission is not a blank check. It is a voluntary choice, and it is as unto the Lord. And finally, the last one, submission focuses on respect. Submission focuses on respect. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, "Nevertheless, each individual among you is also to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, speaks of men being one of the gospel as they observe the chaste and respectful behavior of their wives. You know, I think, you know, we all know that men need two things. One of those things is respect, and I think we all know what the other one is. Respect is a big thing for guys. You ever watch athletic contests and talking about competition and things, people always wanting to have respect, you know, and out in the street sometimes there are these gangs and everybody wants respect, and that's why if one person gets shot, that means somebody from the other side is going to get shot. So respect is a big thing. Now, I'm not saying women don't want to be respected. I know they certainly do, but it seems to be something that men really crave in a kind of unique way. It's a big thing. Men will react extremely negative to being disrespected. Fights break out when a guy feels like somebody's disrespected him. Respected. Sometimes men don't deserve respect. You know, to be honest, I've got lots of guys in my counseling practice, they don't deserve any respect, I could tell you right now. And sometimes we, in our worst moments, behave in ways that say, you know, you really are not worthy of respect right now. But sometimes a woman can say, even though right now you're not exactly acting the way I want you to act, I'm going to show you respect, even though in absolute terms you probably really don't deserve it. We all fall short in our behavior and our attitudes, and men are a lot more likely to respond in a reasonable and loving way if they can be interacted with respectfully. I've never been in the military, but they tell me that there are times in the military when you have to salute the commanding officer's position. Even though you don't like the commanding officer, even though he may be a jerk, sometimes they are, I guess, you salute the rank. You salute the stripes, you salute the star, rather than the person. So sometimes a woman will have to say, I'm going to do what's right here, even though right now I'm not feeling terribly good about him. And if she does that, there may be times when the husband kind of comes out of whatever he's gotten into and realizes that he needs to change the way he's behaving and the way he's acting. A wife respects the husband and the role he plays in her life, even if he isn't always flossing his teeth and finding time to fish. You know, none of us are perfect, right? Matthew Henry, he said, a woman was not made out of his head to top him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal to him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved. That's supposed to be the relationship of a man and a woman. And if we all did our parts and really focused on and took responsibility when we fell short, probably things would go a lot smoother. There's someone by the name of Charles Shedd said, marriage is not so much finding the right person as it is being the right person. So we have to focus on ourselves, our sin, deal with our sin before God, confess anything to him we need to confess, and confess things to the wife or to the husband that we need to do. And if everybody does that, things are going to get a lot better in many marriages. Four principles to remember as we consider the submission of a Christian wife to her husband. One, it's not a blank check. Yes, it's a command, but it's not a blank check. Number two, it is voluntary. It is voluntary. A woman voluntarily chooses to do this. Number three, it is as unto the Lord. When you submit to your husband, you're also submitting to the Lord. And number four, finally, it focuses on respect. Shall we pray?